I'm Richard Austin, and I feel honored to introduce to you the founder of Quantum Touch, Richard Gordon, as he speaks to an audience hearing about Quantum Touch for the first time. I've been practicing natural healing for over 30 years. Never have I seen anything that even remotely compares to Quantum Touch in its power, speed, and range of conditions it can heal. We've personally used it to straighten scoliosis, a curved spine, in as little as 1 hour, a healing that's considered medically impossible. We've used it to resolve a frozen shoulder, a painful condition expected to last 18 months, in a single session. Every time we use Quantum Touch, bones melt into place, pain disappears, inflammation subsides. In fact, all healing is accelerated. Pain that has endured for years can vanish in a half hour. And it's so easy. Even our beginning students are getting similar results. It's almost unbelievable, but it keeps on happening anyway. Quantum Touch truly has the capacity to create miracles. Richard Gordon is an amazing teacher and humanitarian. Listen to his words of encouragement and inspiration. The stories he tells are real. Quantum Touch really does have this power. When you get the opportunity, take a workshop, read his book, and use Quantum Touch to create a healthier and happier life. Now let's listen in to Richard as he introduces Quantum Touch to the audience.
Welcome, everybody. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you all for coming. Hey, I said y'all. How about that? It's in the air. Thanks for coming out here. And what I have to share with you tonight is something that has been so surprising and astounding to me for decades. I've been showing this work around the world. Alternative Medicine magazine called it a significant breakthrough in hands-on healing. Dr. C. Norman Shealy, founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association, tested it, called it the first technique that may truly allow everyone to become a healer. I've shown it to physicians, chiropractors, acupuncturists, physical therapists. Everybody says it transforms their practice. The Qigong teachers tell me it triples their power. Cranial sacral people tells me the same basic thing. The Reiki masters call it Reiki empowerment. Everybody who knows any kind of hands-on therapy finds that it can empower what they're currently doing and making it far more powerful. And lay people can pick it up right away and do it immediately. I learned about this work in 1978, just months before my first book came out. My book was Your Healing Hands, The Polarity Experience, which is now in 11 languages and it's been a bestseller. And I thought I knew a lot about hands-on healing when that book came out. And I was so shocked and surprised when my friend Marita invited me to go to a workshop with a man named Robert Rasmussen. Now, Bob had been doing this work for 30 years, and he'd never told anybody how he did it. He just was doing it by himself. He'd come across the work quite naturally and intuitively. He had been a very intuitive child. He used to do math problems just by writing the answers down to tests. The teachers accused him of cheating because how did you do that long division problem without having to calculate? And he would simply write the answer down, and he said to the teachers, if you don't believe I did this myself, please give me another test, and I'll be glad to show you that I just do it intuitively. And he just wrote the answers down, and it was good enough. So when he got older, he used to take state examinations for the fun of it. He used to walk in, become a real estate broker, a structural engineer, and had a whole stack of certificates. But one day, he was visiting a woman whose daughter had a severe case of bowed legs. And she would come home crying from school because the other kids were teasing her so much. And he simply asked, what can I do to help? And he got the message to do the body focusing, the breathing, what I call running the energy, and to touch her knees. He touched her knees, and her knees came right back together again, and she cried out, Mommy, I can touch my knees together. And since that day, he dropped all the other things he was qualified to do and did full-time hands-on healing. The very first workshop he ever gave was in 1978, and I attended it. My friend Marita, who invited me, was the subject of the demonstration. And here's this very large man who seemed completely blasé, telling these tall tales. He would tell stories like, well, there was the time that the boy broke his leg and the bone was sticking out of the flesh, and I just held above and below the break, and you could see the bone coming back in and the skin's healing up, and the next day the child was running around the swimming pool. These tall tales, and I thought, this is totally crazy. But when he demonstrated on Marita, she was standing in her underwear in the front of the room, and I'd never looked before, but she had a major S-curve in her spine. And one of her hips was much higher. And Bob said, well, here's what I do. And he touched the occipital ridge, and it rolled back into place. And he put his hands on the hips, and they rolled back into place, like I just demonstrated a moment ago. And he went up and down the spine, showing how it worked. And after about 12 or 14 minutes, her spine was about two-thirds straightened out. And I was shocked. My mouth dropped open. I thought, oh, my God, this guy's got some kind of rare gift. No one else is ever going to be able to learn it, and certainly not me. But in the course of the day, I saw that I could barely begin to move the energy powerfully enough to get the bones to move back into alignment. I happened to be his neighbor, I became his friend, and I would go over to his home and see what he was doing. I tried to pick his brain, ask him hundreds and hundreds of the same questions over and over again to find out what made him so powerful. Why weren't the other people he taught doing level work that he was doing? And I finally gleaned on some of the answers. Because he was an intuitive. He did it naturally. He didn't have to think about it. And so translating it so other people could get it wasn't his greatest gift. I've been doing this work for so many years now, and I've gone through a series of life shock experiences, delightful experiences. The first really shocking experience I had was when somebody brought a rabbit into my home around Easter time. And I thought it was so cute, this bunny's hopping all around my house, until I realized that there were pellets everywhere. And so I had to capture the rabbit and put it back in a box. Well, this rabbit didn't want to be captured. And so I had to corner the rabbit. It was going from room to room until I finally got it cornered and put my hands on the rabbit, and it was trembling under my hands because rabbits figure they're dinner. That's just how they think. And I thought, I ought to run energy into this trembling rabbit. And within seconds, the rabbit stopped trembling. Then I continued running energy, and within seconds, the rabbit did something totally unusual. He stretched his front paws forward and his back paws back as far as he could. My friend's watching with her mouth open and going, oh my God. And I continued running the energy in the rabbit, and about 20 or 30 seconds later, the rabbit pushed against my hands, and my first instant thought was, this rabbit's trying to get away. But it flipped itself over on its back with my hands on its belly, stretched out like this. Yeah, with a big smile on his face. And I was really shocked. But not as shocked as I was about a week later when I went down to Los Angeles to demonstrate quantum touch with a small group of people. And there was a woman named Marjorie who had severe osteoporosis. She walked hunched over with her head facing down to the floor. And when she looked up at me, she had to use the top of her eyes to see me. And I demonstrated on her to the group. I had her put a shirt on backwards so people could see her spine. And the thoracic vertebra were sticking out like dinosaur bones. There'd be one here, then one off to the side there, one further off to the side here, and then way over there, and then another one off that side, and then it was just a mishmash, chaotic mess. And the lumbar were indented. So I started working on her to show this group of people. And after 10 or 15 minutes, people would come by and say, is that looking better, or is that my imagination? And I said, that's exactly what I was thinking, too. And after about 20 or 30 minutes, people were saying, wow, that's really looking better. After an hour and a quarter, every vertebra was in a totally straight line in her spine. The ones who were sticking out had come in. The ones who were indented had come out. She stood up and suddenly became a lot taller than me. And at the moment that she stood up, it was like as if it was choreographed. Her daughter walked in the room, opened double doors, and burst out crying, Mommy, you're standing up straight. I was so shocked from that experience that when I got back to my friend's house where I was staying, I sat against a wall, leaning against this wall, and I heard this really loud voice in my head, and the voice said, that didn't happen. And for a moment I believed it. And then I reviewed all the incidents real quickly, like you're not going to lose a dream. And I remembered how she looked up at me from the top of her eyes and how her spine looked so scary when we first saw it and how it all eventually, it was just looking better as my imagination and how the bones lined up, how her daughter came in, how she cried, how tall she became. I had to review all the pieces of information so I didn't take the experience away from myself. And incidentally, you're supposed to listen to the still, quiet voice, not the big, loud one that yells at you. Anyway, I've gone through a series of these shocking experiences, and it's been my delight to see other people going through their experiences too that have amazed and impressed them as well. There's a friend of mine up in Seattle, and his wife's a social worker, and she brought home a baby from the hospital that was 13 weeks premature and had severe fetal alcohol syndrome and was addicted to crack cocaine. After 2 weeks of being in the hospital and still not having enough musculature to even suck milk, they decided it was time to release this baby to some home somewhere, and she asked, "Can I take care of it?" And the doctor said, "Well, there's no hope for the baby, basically. It's going to be institutionalized." And the mom got virtually all her calories from alcohol throughout the pregnancy. And with a severe fetal alcohol syndrome, facial morphology and everything else, she took the baby home. And everybody in the family knows how to use quantum touch and run the energy. And the baby started thriving. And when the baby started getting stronger and he could cry for food and kick and scream, he would do so, and my friend picked up the baby in his hands and he ran energy into the baby. And the first thing the baby did when he'd run energy into it is stop crying, stop kicking, and he'd just go limp in his hands, go, ah, like the rabbit. Just get totally relaxed. He'd put the baby down in a seat and the baby would sit patiently waiting for food without crying because the baby had his touch needs met. Now, what are touch needs? We hear about that all the time. People talking about the value of touch, the importance of touch. They speak about touch as something of tremendous value, but it sounds like something very physical. It's like you're getting rubbed. But they could get like some mechanical piece of rabbit's fur, I suppose, and rub it up against somebody. But it's not going to have the impact because it's the human touch. It's the exchange of life force energy, which is really love, as close to physical form as it gets. That's being transferred from mother to child. And so when Terry runs energy into baby, or I run energy into rabbit, there's that, total relaxation and allowance. And when the touch needs are met, the baby can be patient for food. And this is really profound.
In this next section, Richard talks about life force energy and how it works.
What is life force energy? Life force is the stuff the biologists were supposed to study in the first place. They were supposed to study what is life. And they do, except what is that spark that differentiates something alive from something not alive? That's what they were supposed to look at in the first place. But what's happened is they've studied everything else, like how does the cell work and all these things, but not to understand what that spark is. The Indian yogis have written about life force, you know, for thousands of years, calling it prana. And the Chinese have called it qi, and the Japanese call it ki, and the Hawaiians have called it mana. And it's basic energy of every living thing. Dr. Beverly Rubik, a physicist, came up with a list of 76 words that different cultures use to describe life force. It's only our modern Western scientists and physicians who have come up with some very unusual names for life force energy. They call it things like woo-woo, or placebo, or bogus, or nonsense, or imagination. But it's a powerful, real force. The way quantum touch works is the practitioner learns to hold a really high vibration in their body. They do it with simple breathing and body-focusing exercise techniques. We have people from every religion and walk of life, highly religious or highly spiritual and not religious, or even atheists or non-theists, who learn to do this and keep their own belief system intact. And everybody brings in the love as they know it and experience it. And you raise your own vibration to a very high level. But when two things vibrate at different frequencies, there's a law of resonance and entrainment. Either the lower frequency matches the higher frequency, the higher one comes down to match the lower one, or the two vibrations meet in the middle. With quantum touch, the practitioner holds a very high vibrational frequency and keeps raising it throughout the session. The other person is in the field. You're not giving the energy to the other person, and therefore you never become drained. The other person simply starts matching the vibration of the practitioner, coming up to where they are. Then your own body intelligence takes over and does the healing it decides to do. The definition of a healer is someone who was sick and got well, period. A great healer is someone who is very sick and got well quickly. You cannot heal another person. It's their body that heals itself. You can no more heal another person than digest the lunch that they just ate. Their body has to do the healing within itself. And when it does, it has an intelligence that's beyond human comprehension or conception. The arrogance of modern medicine to figure that they can poison a disease in the hope that the disease dies before the patient, or symptomatic medicine, which takes no account as to why the condition is there and how to get the body to do what it needs to heal itself, it's akin to taking the blinking oil light and covering it with masking tape. Well, problem solved. Or to surgically remove the oil light. It's the paradigm of domination and control. It's going to war with a bad thing. I was listening to a physician talk on the radio, and he was explaining why we don't have a vaccination against cancer. And his answer was, well, you can get vaccinations for quite a number of different diseases, like smallpox and so forth, because we have an obvious enemy to attack. But how do you attack the part of the body that's attacking itself, he asked. And as I'm listening to him, I suddenly realized, this guy thinks the body's really stupid. Because, of course, our bodies know how to differentiate cancer cells from healthy cells. It's what we do. We've got killer cells in the body. It knows how to do that stuff. It does it all the time. Those people who've studied it say, you get cancer 20 times or 30 times in your life, and your immune system just takes care of it. It's not a big deal. There is a physician I know who knows a nutritional program and a blood test that can screen to see if people have cancers that aren't showing up as lumps anywhere in the body. And with this good nutrition, the body takes care of it. But the arrogance to think that the body's stupid is unbelievable to me. We have an intelligence system in our body that's so remarkable. Do you know if you have damaged DNA inside your cells, the intelligence of the system knows how to heal damaged DNA? And our scientists, who are so proud of the Human Genome Project, thousands of scientists spending billions and billions of dollars, create a big roadmap of DNA. We don't understand what most of it means. It's like a big map of Los Angeles from outer space. And we're so proud we created a Dolly the sheep that now has osteoporosis and osteoarthritis. You know, it's like a bad Xerox copy. And Thomas Edison once said, until, paraphrasing slightly, you know, until human beings are capable of creating a blade of grass from scratch, nature can laugh at its so-called scientific achievements. We're so proud of what we do, but the intelligence of the system is brilliant. There's enough DNA in a single cell. If you stretched it end to end, it would be about a yard long, one cell. Take all the DNA in your whole body, 100 trillion cells, it's enough to go from the Earth to the Sun and back 200 times. The work that we're doing, I've called quantum touch because of something I read Deepak Chopra had written. He wrote, in order for consciousness to affect matter, it must take place on a quantum or subatomic level. We're not affecting the position of bones. It looks like it, but we're doing much more than that. When I look at this chair, you see this big, heavy thing here, but the chair is made up of atoms, we're told. And the atoms are made up of subatomic particles. But those particles aren't even particles. They're calling them energy packets now because the energy packets have no mass. Huh? The stuff that makes up the atoms, that makes up the chair, has no mass. It doesn't weigh anything. Not only that, but it seems to be affected by consciousness. In the early experiments that quantum physicists did, they found out they had to blind the experiment because the expectation of the scientists was causing the subatomic particles to spin in accordance to their expectation. So this guy thought it should make three loops, and that guy thought it should make two loops, and they were both right. So they blinded the experiment to find out what would happen when you didn't know what you were looking for. Rather than asking the more courageous question, how does your consciousness affect subatomic particles? Or why do they dance according to your expectations? Oh, we don't want to go there. So let's just drop that one and instead look at what happens when we don't understand.
Next, Richard talks about the qualities of energy, some research stories, and experiences with world-class healing.
When we're running energy into somebody, their body responds, I believe, subatomically. And it starts to shift. We're working through the atoms, through the molecules, through the cells, through the tissues, the organs, the glands, the systems. It doesn't really matter what we call the condition. The body heals itself. And it works through the body's intelligence, all the different levels, the ligaments, the tendons, the muscles, and then the bones move back to alignment. So people who just see me working and see somebody's hip realigning itself, like I showed a few minutes ago, will say, oh, I see. Quantum touch moves bones. Well, that's the tip of the iceberg on all the other changes taking place, because first it's worked its way through the systems and everything else into the body. Well, in my efforts to document and validate this work and to get it researched, I met with Dr. Elmer Green. And Dr. Green, for those of you who don't know, is considered the father of biofeedback. He's a great old man. He's what I would always want to be as an old man. He has woken up every day of his life practically just totally excited to do what he wanted to do. He's followed his passion his entire life, which I think is a fantastic achievement. And he was aware of my first book and was so excited to meet me too, which surprised me. But when I told him and showed him the quantum touch work, he became really thrilled. And he said, it's not enough to see that Dr. Norman Shealy studies this. We've got to make sure he actually researches it. Not enough to get him excited. He's got to actually research it. So a few days later, he was sending out faxes and phone calls and everything. And in about 10 days, I was on an airplane to Springfield, Missouri to see Dr. Norman Shealy. Dr. Norman Shealy was the founding president of the American Holistic Medical Association. He's written at least a dozen books. He is the one who tested Carolyn Mace endlessly. He is professor at Greenwich University. And quite amazingly, he is actually respected, highly respected by both traditional and alternative physicians. He's from Missouri, and he's known to be very skeptical and very tough-minded in the way he approaches things. When I got there, since he had no reason to believe anything I was doing would work, he asked me to test it on his secretary, his accountant, and his nurses, and they had back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, and about 5 to 10 or 12 minutes, one by one, each person's pain completely disappeared and melted away. And then he said, well, let's give you somebody harder. So he took me into a room where there was a very old woman, about 88, with severe osteoporosis, and she walked with a walker very slowly. One of her hips was massively higher than the other as she kind of stumbled forward slightly. And Dr. Shealy said, well, let's see what you can do here. Well, first they had to take her history for a whole half an hour. And I realized, when you're 88, you got a lot of history. And finally, I said, well, can I show you what it is that I do? And there were three doctors in the room, and they said, yes, please, go ahead. So I had her stand up. Now, chiropractors know that if somebody has severe osteoporosis, they can break a bone by leaning against a rail, by coughing too hard, or sneezing even. You dare not press on somebody in that condition, and I dare not. I just lightly touched my hands onto her hips, which were completely uneven. And after about 6 or 7 minutes, they turned and rolled and adjusted until they became totally level. And she said, oh, I can walk quite comfortably now, as she's moving forward on the floor like that. And her physician came over, got on one knee, put her fingers on the woman's hips with her eyes exactly level to her fingers, and her jaw dropped wide open. It was a Kodak moment, because here's this physician with the white lab coat and the stethoscope around her neck, jaw hanging down, astounded. So I said to Norman Shealy on the way back to his guest house, where I was to stay for most of the week, I said, Norm, are you impressed? He said, no. This is the skeptic. I said, hey, I had a good day today. I'm not always this successful. Not everything I touch, you know, transforms that well. I said, what's it going to take to impress you? He said, well, he said, I think some of those people might have liked you a little bit. I think some of them might have even been a little open to what you were doing. Then I could see the real tough skeptical side of him coming through. And he said, no, he said, I want to see how this works on my most difficult chronic pain patients. I want to see how this works on people who have never been helped in 20 or 30 years from any traditional or alternative therapy. He had tried electroacupuncture on them. He's got a room with copper walls that sends sparks. He's got a $10,000 sound bed filled with oils that vibrates. He's tried everything on this population, and nothing has brought them any relief whatsoever. Well, I know that I'm skilled and competent at what I do when I'm doing hands-on healing work. But I also know that I have no unusual gifts in terms of my hands-on ability. But I've seen first-day students doing things from time to time that I've never seen when I try to do it, like to reshape a bunion with a life force energy and have it actually change shape. You know what doctors do to bunions? They take a saw, just cut it off and watch the person hobble for 6 months in pain. But the body can actually reshape that. Some people can actually dissolve. Saw it in the classes last week, and one guy was really good at dissolving bone calcification. Somebody's got a bone spur, just melts it away because the body's capable of doing that. People have different vibrational energies, just as we have different ways of expressing our love. One person may be very protective or nurturing or understanding or compassionate or caring. People have different qualities of love, different flavors of love. Even though we only have one word for it, we have many flavors of life force energy, which is really an expression of our soul energy, of who we really are. It's what I call non-enculturated love. We're not even talking about unconditional love. We're talking about preconditional love. It's the kind of love you have before conditions exist. It's your spirit energy of who you truly are as a spirit that comes through your hands. So I recruited Norm Shealy, one of his secretaries, one of his nurses, and his accountant to start running the life force energy on these chronic pain patients. So we gave them group sessions. And there's something about a group. When two or more are gathered, there's a synergy of love that's spectacular. So we gave these group quantum touch sessions to every one of these people who had deep chronic pain. They were 1 hour grueling sessions. I'm saying these people were so locked up in their pain. They were so blocked. The pain was very, very deep and significant. The result of these sessions was that everyone experienced between a 30 and 70% reduction of their pain from a single session. And that impressed Norm a great deal. But that's not what impressed him the most. He was much more impressed when he called me 10 days after I got back home to say, "Oh my God, Richard," he said, "this is amazing. The pain relief from those sessions is still lasting in every one of the people we treated." Wow, that's good. But that's not what impressed him the most. Norm Shealy had devised a test. And being a neurosurgeon by training, he was very excited to measure people's electroencephalograph readings. And his favorite test was to test these people he called world-class healers. World-class healers, such as Olga Worrell or Esteban and others, who actually had the ability to affect other people's brainwaves from a distance. The test was set up whereby somebody would lay down for an hour. The first half hour was baseline. They were not told they were going to be receiving a healing session. Then the practitioner could be in the room or another room or whatever while the person was still laying down and sending the distant healing energy and then looking to see if there was a sudden shift in brainwaves after the half an hour baseline for the next half an hour. And the first person he had me work on was a man who, all I knew about him was that he had back pain. That's all I knew about him. And he lay down. I was about 20, 25 feet away. And waiting till the half an hour was up, till the woman in the room just tapped me on the shoulder, nodded her head, and I started sending distant energy. In the first 5 minutes that he received it, his central brain delta wave activity tripled in amplitude. And then the next 25 minutes, all his brainwave activity got so quiet, Norm said, in 30 years at looking at brainwave patterns, he'd never seen a person with such quiet brainwaves who wasn't brain dead. Had he just seen that 1 5-minute frame, he might have thought the guy was brain dead if he'd just seen that one. And then after I stopped, they kept the machine running for a while, and they watched his brainwave activity begin to come up after I finished. Next one I worked on was a woman who had had her wisdom teeth out, and her mom didn't know she was going to get a healing, and she didn't know. But she lays on the table. I run the energy after half an hour baseline. Brainwaves start changing. But what was really amazing was when she got off the table, her mother looked at her and said, "Oh my God, I can see the dimple in your cheek," because one side of her cheek had been really inflamed before I started. And she said, "Yeah, my mouth feels better too." And Norm asked her questions and found out she had 70% greater jaw mobility and 70% less pain. And she didn't know she was getting a session. So we did session after session this way too. And that impressed him a great deal. At that point, Norm started calling me names. He said, "Richard, you're a world-class healer." And I said, "Norm, the whole point of my visit is that this is a basic human skill. This is the easiest skill to learn. Everybody can learn it." He said, "No, you're being too modest." I said, "No, I'm just being honest. This is something that everybody can naturally do. This is a natural human ability." He said, no, he said, I think you either have the healthiest ego of any healer I've met, or you have the best act. Skeptic to the end. I was so frustrated. 2 weeks after I got home, I got my revenge. And Norm called me up and he said, Richard, he said, okay, now I'm really impressed. I said, what is it? He said, everybody that you trained in my office, the secretary, accountant, and nurse, they can all affect brainwave patterns at a distance. And I said, gosh, Norm, what an incredible coincidence. Your entire staff happen to be world-class healers. And he said, okay, I get the point. This is truly something everybody learns to do very easily. I feel a little bit like, I don't know if you have the advertisements out here in Austin, but I feel a little bit like that guy that sells the cheap suits on TV and says, I guarantee it. You got that guy? Because just to help people get over the bridge of belief of how could I possibly learn to do that, I'll tell people that everybody, what I just demonstrated with you, how the hips move back to alignment, I'll guarantee everybody can learn to move bones back into alignment with a light touch, or they can get all their money back. And they can see that on the first day of the workshop. And most people see it before lunch break on the first day of the workshop. It's that basic a human skill, and it's that basic a thing that people can learn to do.
The knowledge of life force energy is changing the way we view the world, and it shakes up our conception of reality.
So, one of the aspects of the work that I find really intriguing is that we are clearly affecting the very physics and chemistry of matter. How do I know that? How can I make such an outlandish statement like that? Well, in the workshop, what I do is I will buy a really good bottle of wine or two. Maybe, you know, the kind you get a whole gallon for like $8 or $9? This wine's so good, you don't even need a cork to keep the goodness in. It's got a screw off top. And just to make sure the wine is in its prime, I'll open it Friday evening so I can serve it Sunday afternoon to let it breathe. And I'll let it sit out for a while. We get some very elegant Dixie cups, and we serve everybody who wants it about half an inch of wine, have them run energy into their little wine sample. And after a few minutes of running energy, we give them some more samples from the same bottle, another sample, and what they do is they taste the one they charged, and they'll usually say, eh, it tastes okay, it's all right. And then they'll taste the uncharged one, and they go, ugh! It's not subtle, it's night and day. This is really profound shift. I went to a winery one time, and I asked the woman, oh, by the way, the purpose of me showing this exercise is not so you can get away with serving stale wine to friends, or to make really cheap wine taste better. It's to show you we're really changing physics and chemistry of matter with life force energy itself. She said, this is probably the stupidest thing I ever learned in my entire life. Well, she affirmed that she was a wine connoisseur. And I said, please, I'd really appreciate it if you'd test and let me know what I'm doing. She said, I don't have time for this nonsense. And I finally said, well, would you please help me get over my delusions that I have this ability? You know, would you humor me and help me get over it? And she said, oh, okay. She pours two little glasses of wine. I run energy into one. She tastes them both twice. I guess that's how it works. She sniffs them and all that. She says, do you realize what you've done? Tell me. She said, you have demolished the complexity of this wine, and you've nearly eliminated the aftertaste. Is that good? She said, no, it's really bad. I teased her at that point. I said, you know, if you'd like, I can charge all the bottles in here at once. And she slammed her hands on the table and said, no, don't do that. It was so fun taking her from, you know, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard to no, don't do that within moments. So we're changing physics and chemistry with this work. We're also affecting psychology. During one of the sessions with Norm Shealy, a woman was having an amazing emotional reaction. And people have a lot of emotion. One of the women I did a demonstration on tonight was starting to feel the emotions come up because we're not a mind and a body. We're a mind-body or a body-mind or a mati or a something like that or bind. I don't know. But it's all one. Dr. Candace Pert did research showing that the brain receptors don't just exist in your head. They're all through your whole body. Where do you feel emotions? In your head? Not likely. You feel emotion in your body somewhere. The heartaches, the gripping anger in the gut, the sadness in the throat, wherever you feel it, that's where the emotion is. So this one particular woman during the session said, "Oh, I'm feeling this terrible emotional pain." And Norm Shuley said, "Why don't you just let yourself feel it?" And she goes, "No, if I let myself feel this pain, I know I'll be stuck there forever." Norm said, "No, darling, I promise you, you won't." And she finally lets herself feel the pain. She howls and cries for about 8 minutes. And now she's feeling really good. And then about 10 minutes later, she says, "Oh, now I'm feeling a much worse pain. I know if I feel this one, I'll be stuck there forever." And Norm nurtures her and encourages her to feel the emotion. She finally feels her emotion. And she howls maybe for 10 or 12 minutes this time. And then she's feeling really good. At the end of the session, Norm said, "What was going on?" And she said, "Well, you know, I'm too old to ever have a baby, and I've wanted to be a mommy since I was a little girl. And it's just so sad for me. But, you know, I realize I have all these creative projects in my life. When would I ever have time to have a baby?" And she said, "I've got a wonderful man in my life. You know, the truth is, I'm having a wonderful life," she said. And I wonder how many people go into psychotherapy on day one, thinking, "You know, I'm miserable because I'll never have a baby," and walk out an hour later saying, "I'm having a wonderful life." Well, when the emotions come up from life force energy, they bubble up organically through you. It's not like Gestalt therapy where I went through and banged pitakas on pillows and screamed at chairs and did all this stuff and always walked out feeling dazed and whoa, like this. This is more organic, like something that just pours through you. It just kind of bubbles up and through. And when it does, it's doing it from probably a subcellular level, from a quantum level. It just brings that energy charge that's being contained in the tissues right up through and out. There is a naturopathic physician, a NMD. We don't have these in California. Naturopathic medical doctor in New Mexico, Dr. Mike Walker, who tested quantum touch. And his first person he tried it on was a man with obsessive compulsive disorder. And after a couple sessions with this guy, the man was doing so much better, he took him off two of his medications. Then another woman told me she worked with a patient who had multiple personality disorder, and after a very long two-hour session, during the two-hour session, the woman had a major integrative experience of all her personalities, and for the first time in her life, felt the integration of who she was in that mix of personalities. We see children with ADD or ADHD, and you bring them right back to center. Any psychotherapists in here, by the way? Nobody's raising their hand? Well, when I ask psychotherapists, how well does psychotherapy work on a panic attack? The answer is not well, unless the person is incredibly receptive. And with quantum touch, you can run energy into the part of their body where they're feeling the panic. They know exactly where that is, by the way. It's no difficult thing to find. You run it right into that spot, and it melts the panic away. And then the psychotherapist could talk to them. Of course, that's illegal to touch their patients, but I believe that one day psychotherapists will be required to responsibly and appropriately touch patients when it's necessary. Because you can do things energetically you cannot do mentally or intellectually. There are two primary techniques I teach in the workshop. The first one is called, it's very complicated, it's called the "Where Does It Hurt" technique. I forgot to bring the charts but you ask a person where it hurts. Now, our body, as I said, is incredibly intelligent, and it gives us very clear and concise messages. It says, hungry, thirsty, sleepy, hurts here. These are very important messages the body's giving us. So when it says hurts here, you put your hands there. And then, how many of you felt the energy moving to some other part of your body when I worked on you? Yeah, a whole bunch of you. Well, what we would do is the second technique called chasing the pain or chasing the sensation from place to place to place until it's all gone. Because the energy moves and it tells you where to go next. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius. We've had children as young as 8 years old taking the workshop and getting it right away. One woman, for example, had a splitting headache that she'd had for a few days. Another woman in class was running energy into her head. And after a few minutes, she said, "It's weird, but it's all gone into my throat." Who knows why? But the body knows. So she ran energy into the throat. And then she said, "Oh, wow, it's all moved into pressure into my liver gallbladder area." So the woman went down and worked on the liver gallbladder. Then she felt her whole body heat up. So so she's sweating, and within moments, the headache was totally gone. Now, some acupuncturists, if we have any here, would understand why some headaches may be liver, gallbladder headaches. But not every headache, and it would be very excellent to be able to do the diagnosis to know that that was a liver, gallbladder headache, but we have something that a 10-year-old can immediately figure out and say, okay, hurts here, hurts here, hurts there, and work right through. So we got the chasing the pain or sensation and the where does it hurt technique as the basic techniques, then a lot of simple and basic hand positions that really go through the body. Lately we've had some 11-year-olds who've taken the class who always amaze and delight me. Maybe it's because I'm partly 11 years old myself, I'm not sure about that. But one of them, Zach, took the workshop, and he and his mom were there together. And watching the two of them work together was the most amazing thing. It looked like they were falling in love. I knew what their relationship was before. It sounded like, would you stop throwing the ball in the house? Mom! And they'd go back and forth, batting heads. But when they were doing the healing work on each other, and everything was miraculous. He couldn't bend a finger from an injury skating, and now his finger could bend, and she was just completely realigning his structure, even though she was sure she could never do it right. It was all working. And when he demonstrated moving the occipital ridge, he had never seen it done. And he just touched for like 1 second. He said, it's done. I said, how do you know? He said, I felt it move. And on the way back home, and it did, by the way, on the way back home, he said to his mom, you know, Mom, I was secretly wishing that I had superhuman powers like the comic book characters, and now I feel like I do. The next day at school, he told his best friend, he said, I learned to heal people. And his friend said, well, heal me. He said, well, do you hurt anywhere? No. Well, I could show you better if you actually had some pain. You're way ahead of me. His friend takes his own hand, slams it on a table as hard as he can. It's swelling and changing color. Some woman said, was he 11? I said, yeah. She said, I know 11-year-olds. It's swelling and changing color. Zach picks up the boy's hand, runs energy into it. Within moments, the hand loses its swelling. And the kid opens and closes his hand and said, oh, that's so cool. Another example of an 11-year-old recently was Benny. And Benny with his older brother Josh up in Seattle area took the workshop. And Benny had so much fun. He's a big Harry Potter fan. It's like, whoa, I can really do this. And he's watching things change and so forth. He's walking around with energy balls and pushing them into people and going, whoa, feeling the changes happen. And so he's getting really excited. When he got home, he wanted to run energy into everything. So he goes to school, and some girl's got a can of root beer. He said, can I hold your root beer for a minute? She says, sure. So he holds the root beer, and he runs energy. And he gives it back to her, and she says, you've ruined my root beer. The carbonation's gone, and it doesn't taste as sweet. And he does it with orange soda and Coca-Cola. He's actually doing them a great service, by the way. And by the way, my energy does not dissolve carbonation like some children that I've seen. Everybody has their own skills or areas of expertise, it seems. I'm getting ahead of myself. Everybody can move bones. It's really easy to see inflammation being reduced. It's really easy to see pain being reduced. That's just general. The immune system seems to function better. The body heals itself faster. That's basic. But some people, like I said, will do some more unusual things like dissolve scar tissue or reshape bunions and so forth. And some people can actually take the fizz out of soft drinks. It's quite amazing. So Benny goes home, and his brother had opened up a bottle of Gatorade in his car, and he holds the Gatorade and runs energy into it and puts it back down. And when his brother gets in the car and is driving along, he picks up the opened bottle of Gatorade and starts drinking from it, and he spits it out the window. And he says, you ruined my Gatorade. They got into a big fight. And when father helped them sort it out and figure out what had happened to the Gatorade, they all had a big laugh about what had happened. But it's really a delight to watch the kids picking up and doing this work so quickly.
Next, Richard answers questions from the audience and tells some more stories of healing.
Well, I'd like to open this up to some of your questions. Okay, the question is, how does this compare with holistic touch? Comparing this to therapeutic touch or healing touch or Reiki is like comparing a little pen light to a searchlight. It's just faster. I've taken this work to chiropractic colleges and eventually got thrown out because when the teachers saw the students being able to touch an atlas or axis and move it back in place with a light touch. He said, what's that? He said, well, this is quantum touch. They passed a new rule there saying non-chiropractors were no longer allowed to teach on campus. For those of you who practice Reiki, the difference is there's no attunements, there's no symbols. This takes a lot of concentration to do. It takes a lot of focus. And the more you give, the better it works. But you're not really giving up your own energy since you're raising your vibration. And as Dr. Jerry Pittman, a physician in North Carolina, pointed out, he said, in its elegance, quantum touch first provides healing to the practitioner. Another difference between this and some of the other modalities like that is that you never feel tired or drained at the end of a session. Even though the other ones claim you don't get tired, when I've actually asked around, many of the practitioners have become tired or drained. And what that means is you didn't learn how to hold a high enough vibration, and you actually entrained to the other person's vibration. And that's what causes the massage practitioners, for example, or other body workers to get tired or drained or to pick up stuff, because you're just matching their vibration rather than holding a higher and higher and higher vibration throughout the session and lifting your vibration up. So these are some of the primary differences between this and Reiki and the other modalities we mentioned. The quantum touch tends to be able to accelerate what the body wants to do, but you do still have to give it the raw ingredients. The body has an extraordinary ability to heal itself with the right emotions, nutrition, lifestyle, and energy. And quantum touch isn't everything to everything, but it's a big chunk of what's missing in terms of our healthcare system. Okay, what do I call the energy and where do I feel it comes from? I feel like the descriptions that the Indian yogis use and a lot of others use of life force is really good, because this is that animating current of life. We pull it in from intention and attention and breathing. But what we're really accessing is that quality of life force that is an expression of our soul's energy, of who we truly are as a spiritual being. And that's what comes through us. Even if you're cranky and grouchy and miserable and feeling depressed or lonely or really rotten, you can still do brilliant work. And when I ask students how their mood is after the first session, 90-some percent of the people in the class raise their hand, that it raised their mood. And getting a session raises your mood. It brings you closer to your true nature. So am I bringing the energy up from the earth, or am I bringing it from the heavens? And all these conceptualizations that people have about where it comes from. But I just feel it's in every corner of the universe. It's everywhere, all together. And all you have to do is just pull it in. You don't have to bring a lot of conception with it. It is that animating current of life. It is that spark, which is truly our essence of love, of who we really are, when you get past all the enculturation, which is why I like to call it preconditional love. Because there's not even a condition before it happens. It's just who you are as a being. So that's what I think it is. Intention is a viable and important part of this work, because you're using attention and intention to move sensation through your body. And that raises your life force energy. It's a very important and essential component. We're affecting physics with consciousness. How does it work with addictions like heroin or alcohol? It smooths things. When a person is feeling uptight, you run energy into their body. It makes them feel much, much better. It makes them relaxed, makes them not feel compelled or impelled to do that kind of activity. Now, I think there's some other good things to do, like forgive yourself and don't beat yourself up and don't take it so seriously, like it was a criminal matter, but just realize it was a time in your life you needed to do something like that, or a person needed to do that, and be easy. And then also sometimes taking some of the better colloidal minerals can do a wonderful job of helping to soften the addiction, because as it remineralizes in your body, seeking other things out there doesn't seem so important. And the energy can do a wonderful job of softening and making it easier for the person. Okay, she said if she had a broken arm, would it be good not to work on somebody? I'm going to tell you a couple different things around that. One is there was a fellow in my Boston workshop, Timothy, who had an arm from the elbow to the wrist, and it was a banana curve off to the side. And he had had a multiple fracture in that arm. That was years ago. And two practitioners worked on his arm, and all three people at the end of the session said that the arm felt like it turned to jello, and his arm straightened out in that session. So I would suggest, first off, you get quantum touch on the broken arm before anything else happens. We have seen a number of times where broken bones have spontaneously healed. if you are in pain yourself, you can still do marvelous work, and you will also be doing a session on yourself at the same time, because as you run the energy is moving through you, and it gives you more vitality, and it works with your system. There were two women who took a workshop not too long ago, and one of them said, "You have really demolished my conceptualizations of what was true with this work." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I have terrible knees, and I've had bad knees for over 20 years. And the other woman I worked with has had bad knees for over 20 years also." And she said, "I figured since I got bad knees, I can't help her. And since she has bad knees, she can't help me." But both of us felt our knees completely better from the hour session they gave each other. And it says, yes, even though you're not well. Now, Bob Rasmussen, my teacher, was never a picture of health. He didn't really care about his health that much. It wasn't his priority. But he was doing extraordinary work on other people. You'd think he didn't look well, and he wasn't particularly, but he gave himself 100%. He loved what he was doing. He'd completely give himself to the process. Open up really wide and just let the energy surge. You don't have to be perfect. And actually, as a very large man living into his 80s, is rare. But it's because he ran the energy so much, I feel, that he was able to live into his 80s. Okay, the question is, I'm not sure I can paraphrase it very easily, but, you know, looking at what this can work on when you're working on yourself. All healing is self-healing. There's nobody else who can heal your cells but you. When you run energy into yourself, it tends to be not as fast, easy, fun, or powerful as receiving it from somebody else. It can be done. I've radically improved my vision. The moon was getting blurrier and blurrier, and I wondered why the astronomers weren't talking about it. But I ran energy into my eyes, and the moon became sharp, and with more time, I was able to read things closer again. And I remember one time I was stood up suddenly, and I banged the top of my head on this 4x4 piece of wood when I was moving some stuff, and it hurt. I just fell to my knees. It hurt so bad. And I just ran the energy into the top of my head, and within 20 seconds, the pain had stopped. I continued moving, and about an hour later, I very carefully touched the top of my head to see where the bump was going to be, and I couldn't even find a tender spot. Self-healing is one of the important aspects of this work. The question is, does this affect my beliefs in the process of working? Very much so in terms of seeing things happen that I didn't believe was possible. Watching seemingly miraculous events occur that I didn't know could be done. That part has been quite astounding to me. And it's been a constant series of shocks. I remember one lovely shock. I just kind of changed the subject a little bit. But my friend who had managed to avoid ever seeing me doing any interesting hands-on healing and always believed that I was full of it for years, we were in a bookstore. And this elderly lady, this woman in her 60s comes by and says, "Can my mom sit down? She's in a great deal of pain." And there's this very old woman breathing heavily, and she sit, and we jump off the bench and said, "Please sit down." And she sits there and she's wheezing. And just, I said, "Look, is this a medical emergency? Do I need to call somebody?" And she said, "No, she's just having terrible back spasms." I thought to myself, So I offered, you know, if she'd like, I'll just lightly touch her back where the pain is. And I touched her back with her permission. I touched her back where the pain was. And within moments, she stopped breathing heavy and she was smiling and talking to her daughter in French. And the two of them stood up suddenly and said, "Thank you very much." And they walked out of the bookstore. And I've seen so many things over the years. That wasn't a shock to me. But to my friend, who had never witnessed this, she's physically shaking and trembling because she had no conception this was possible. And I've seen so many things happen that were so impossible to my conception. But what I'm seeing is, Terry up in Seattle likes to say, we know no limits to this work. Terry has been watching a series of events happening that are so extraordinary on such a continuous basis. He has this lovely expression, we don't know the limits of the work. We don't know the limits of possibility. He's working on a woman who has her ankle locked in this position for years after a stroke, and in a few moments of touching her ankle, it just falls to a normal position. He works on a woman recently he told me about who had had 35 years of psychotherapy because she had been sexually molested as a child and abused. And she cried for an entire hour during the first session, and she was crying and laughing during the second session. And her comment was, 35 years, and she's also a psychotherapist, 35 years of psychotherapy have failed me, she said. This is the first technique that's ever helped me. And she said she feels free for the first time in her life from that trauma. So we continually see things that I didn't believe were possible, and I love to not know the limits, and it delights me thoroughly. Okay, the question is, how do we do the breathing exercise and how often do we do them? The breathing exercises are essential whenever you want to raise your vibration. And when I'm working on a client, what I'll do is, the minute I put my hands or even before, I'll just start the process and I'll be raising my vibration, and you keep it up 100% of the time while you're working. And that protects you from ever matching their vibration and getting drained. But it's also useful for people who are overly empathic. How many of you notice you walk into a room and you feel too much? Yeah, a lot of you. Well, when you start noticing, this doesn't feel good in here, what's happening is you're matching the resonance of the other people in the room. All you have to do is do the breathing exercises, and that will lift you up and do the body awareness exercises, do a little bit of the distant healing that I'll talk about further, and the whole room will come up and match your vibration. One woman did it at her office, which was a very unpleasant office to be in, and she started hearing these strange conversations in the room, like, well, I don't know why I'm in such a good mood today. Nothing good has happened. But we see, I kind of skipped over this earlier, we see resonance and entrainment all through nature. For example, push grandfather clocks up against a wall, and in time, the pendulums will all match each other because the energy is transferred through the wall. Similarly tuned electrical oscillators will begin to match vibration if they're in proximity with one another. Little disembodied animal hearts put in a petri dish. If they're in proximity to one another, they'll all begin beating together. Even though there's no obvious biological advantage to that, they'll all line up. Women sharing a dormitory begin to menstruate the same time of the month. There is something about matching vibration. And we have the expression in our culture, this person brought me up, or that person brought me down. That's matching vibration. What do we see with systemic conditions like cancer and AIDS? My friend Ronnie told me she worked with 8 AIDS patients, and she brought them all down, or helped them get themselves down, to unmeasurable or nearly unmeasurable levels of the virus. We've seen lots of people with cancer who have been getting a lot of help with this. We don't know the limits of the work. The body heals itself, and we don't know what cannot be done. It's fascinating, but we see people getting this work, spontaneously having emotional release, and not having toxic reactions to it either, because the body only releases as much as it's ready. We have chiropractors who do this work. Remember, one woman said, I'd love to get my husband to take this workshop, but I can't imagine anything I could say that would make him want to come. And I said, what's he do? She said, he's a chiropractor. I said, oh, that's really easy. You just tell him he'll be moving bones into alignment on the first day of class, or he'll get all his money back and the whole weekend free. She said, he'll come. So he comes to it, and when I'm ready to demonstrate bone moving, I say, well, you're the chiropractor. Why don't you come up here and measure for me? He measures. He's very confident. Oh, yeah, it's high on the right. I said, good. Now, while you're up here, I'm going to have you demonstrate to the group. He said, I've never seen it done. I know I can't do it, and I know it's impossible. Because when a person's standing up, you know, the hips can't move. Especially when you just touch them lightly. And I said, well, just put your hands on the hips. And this was the hardest thing for me to teach him because he had such strong hands used to doing the work. And I said, soft hands. No, I kept shaking him for like a minute. I said, no, soft hands. No, soft hands, soft hands. And finally, he had really soft hands. It took a long time, but he got it. And then he ran the energy, concentrating. About 40 seconds later, I pulled his hands. So I said, okay, measure now. He looks and he's grinning. He says, no. He said, I got to see that again. And he did it again. And he said, I got to see that again. And he did it again. And he said, I got to see that again. And he did it 5 times in a row before he'd thoroughly let himself believe that something that was totally outside his belief system had actually occurred. By the way, I delight in skeptics. And one time I remember giving a lecture, and this man came up to me and said, I didn't want to humiliate you in front of everybody. I know you can't move cranial bones with a light touch because they're fused together. I said, oh, I'm so glad to meet you. Come here. And I happened to find somebody, it was really fortunate, who had her occipital bones further out than almost anybody had ever seen. And the right side was really high. And I said, what do you see? And he puts his thumbs there and he says, high on the right. I said, how high? I wanted to double check. He said, well, at least 1/2 inch and maybe even 5/8. And I said, that's exactly what I see. So I touched lightly for about 2 seconds or 3, because that's all it takes to get them to roll back. Some people, when it rolls back like me, actually see the world tip sideways. I was looking out an open window when Bob first touched the back of my head, and the windowsill suddenly shifted to a really strong angle like this. And as I blinked, it all went level again, because as the occipital ridge moved, the orbitals moved in their sockets, the whole world appeared to tip sideways, and then my brain recompensated and made it straight. So I said to him, "What do you see?" And he put his thumbs back on the occipital ridge, and he measures, and he measures, and he remeasures, and he's eyeballing it, and finally he says, "It looks completely even." And I said, "Do you have any interest in researching this?" And he says, "No, I work on amphibians." And he turns around and just walks away, like that was the end of our conversation. As he left, you could see this tail kind of waving as he left. But those people who are willing to stick around and work with it will continue to see things happen. And like we said, on organic conditions, just as well as emotional conditions, just as well as structural conditions. It doesn't matter what we call it. It's all working through that subatomic, right through the layers and levels of tissues and structure of the body, and it does what the body is asking for. We are not directing or controlling the outcome.
Now we have more questions and answers and more wonderful stories of healing.
The old paradigm is about domination, control, and going to war. The new paradigm is creating, choosing, allowing, and loving, and letting the body do what it wants to do. And from my perspective, the chiropractors are absolutely right. The bones need to be in alignment. Now, when you shove something in with force, there's often a reaction against that force. And the joke, how many chiropractors does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is only one, but it has to keep coming back every week. And when you push something in, there's often a reactive force the other way. But when you put energy there, the body goes, "Oh, I know how to relax into that. I have the energy. I have the ability." And it does what it wants to do. When you use force, there's a potential for damage. When you use energy, it feels like you melt back into that alignment. The body does what it wants to do. It's a paradigm of choosing, allowing, creating, loving, and you don't even know what's going to happen next, because you think you're working on somebody's headache, but their sinus pain goes away. Or in a class recently in Chicago, a woman had neck pain. She gets neck pain worked on, and she said, "Oh my God, this is the first time in my life I can remember being able to touch my teeth together," because she'd had her jaw broken by her parents, very abusive parents. And she said, "Look what I can do now." And she stands up, takes some paper, puts it in her mouth, clenches it with her teeth here. We're simply running energy and allowing the body to shift the way it wants to shift. The healer is the one who was sick and got well. Okay, the question is, when you're working with a person with major issues, multiple personality, depression, whatever, and you're wanting to do it long distance, do you just put the person in your awareness and run the energy? You got it. That's basically how it works. The distant healing is very difficult for me to qualify or quantify and express, because it's so unpredictable. Sometimes people will actually know, even if you didn't tell them you're going to work on them, what time the session started and when the session ended. They'll feel it right in their bodies as if they were being touched. Other people don't get the physical sensation, but the healing sometimes is more dramatic and more profound than if you were actually touching them, and other times it's more subtle. I worked on a friend who called me up one day. And by the way, yes, it does work on emotional issues as well, like you were talking about. I worked on a friend. She said, "I can't come over and help you tomorrow with your project because I'm having a severe allergy attack. And as a nurse, I've trained myself to medicate myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take drugs and knock myself out for 2 or 3 days. And when I come to, I won't feel like I have the allergy." I said, "Well, have you taken the drugs yet?" She said, "No." I said, "Why don't you come over and I'll run energy?" She said, "No, I'm too sick to drive." I said, "Well, give me a half an hour to run energy at a distance, and if you don't feel better, take the medication." She said, "No, we went back and forth and back and forth, and finally she said, "Okay, I'll give you 1 hour, and then I'm taking the medication." Great. So I put down the phone. People say, "Can you run energy over the phone?" Why would you want to run energy through the phone wires? I mean, your love is already directly connecting you to these people. There's no distance. Love knows no distance or time. I ran energy into her. I just made her really tiny, because I'm not sure where to run energy for allergies. I mean, there's all these theories about allergies, but I just made her small and put her between my hands and ran energy into all of her at once. And She called me up in 25 minutes and said, oh my God, she said, all the allergies have completely lifted off me. And she said, but beyond that, my back pain is completely gone as well. The next day she called me up and said something really strange, and I don't even have any place to put this information. She said, her calluses all fell off of her feet. I said, what do you mean they fell off your feet? She said, well, you know, you just lift them right off or somewhere in the bed. Well, we see unpredictable things happening. I'd like to tell you a little bit about what I do during a workshop. In a workshop, what I do is I teach people to do the basic breathing, body awareness, focusing exercises, basically how to run the energy. We do our first practice session on each other, which takes an hour, and then people share what happened. And every single person in the class has a story to tell from the very first sessions they get. Pain in the room tends to go down 60 or 70% or more from the very first sessions people give. After lunch, we learn the principles that makes the energy work effectively. We understand how to interpret the sensations in your hands that you get during a session because it gives you a tremendous amount of information without having to be psychic. And we also teach people how to vortex the energy and how to use some other breathing techniques to empower it and more hand positions throughout the body. After that, we have another 1 hour practice session, share what happened during the sessions, and are even more amazed. The joy gets really strong by the end of the first day. The second day, we amp the energy up much stronger. The first day is warm up. The second day, we bring it up much higher. I show people how to do the distant healing. The strongest technique of the day, which is called the amplified resonance technique, which is like being a group healing session all by yourself. And I show people how to use chakras and toning. And we have 2 1-hour sessions. And then I show people to do the what I call fun stuff, which is playing with a wine, or what I call chakra charging for two, which is 2 people lay on the floor with their heads in opposite directions and their legs are draped over each other, and you hold the other person's feet and run the energy. And some people have gone into ecstasy because the energy moves through so effectively. One woman said that she experienced becoming one with the entire cosmos and just merged into the light and had access to all knowledge for a while she was in that state. We've seen most people just go into this incredibly relaxed state of peace, and some people kind of drift in and out of awareness while they're doing it. It's very, very wonderful. So we cover some of the fun stuff there is to do and share our experiences, and that's the weekend workshop. So ultimately, I believe that this work is going to change physics, chemistry, biology, medicine, psychology, botany. I think it's going to affect philosophy because the subtext of the work is my love has impact and my love has value. I matter. I have value being here. No matter what philosophical orientation you come from, you begin to appreciate you're valuable. And there's a man who's looking to create a peace project with Quantum Touch where we would put practitioners on every border of the world where people hate each other. And we get Arabs healing Israelis and Israelis healing Arabs, to give you an example. And when you see your enemy helping your daughter or your mother or your husband or wife, and the gratitude you feel toward this abstract enemy who's now a real person, and then you say, I want to help too. And so we build pockets of love in all the places where there was hatred. I imagine a day when scientists have studied how this work affects physics, chemistry, biology, medicine, psychology, and I predict one day we'll see a new branch of science that I like to call life force science, because it includes all the modalities together. It doesn't just say, well, quantum touch or this. Quantum touch is a great one to demonstrate, but it includes everything people have learned about Qigong and acupuncture and Reiki and everything else. It all gets included. And when we live in a world where people see life force as real, I think we'll live in a very different world. Children will learn in school how to do this work, and when a child falls down, they'll all rush up and do healing. When somebody's misbehaving in class, instead of punishment or drugs, who'd like to give some energy? I would. And the kids naturally, their tendency, every corporation, every clinic would be transformed. It is such a basic thing. If people knew this was possible, if people knew that they could really do it, if they knew that it would really work, I think everybody would want to learn this. This is such a basic skill. Now, I do teach all the important things in my book. I don't know how to write BS. It's just not my style. But when I ask people why they should take the workshop when they can get it from my book, the answer that I've heard is, I never knew if I was doing it right, That was one answer. Another one is, I did it right. I knew I was getting good results from your book, but the workshop was sort of like going, reading the sheet music or going to the concert. It grounds it. It lets you know, and it gives you all the information and the experience to really run with it. And another thing somebody said is, when you see the tears of gratitude on the people leaving the class, you just don't get that from a book. So that's why I travel around the country and teach the workshops and get other people. We have a certification program where people become practitioners, and it's pretty easy to do. And we have a teacher training program for people who want to go out and teach this work. We're interested in people to become philanthropists who want to help generate the research, or grant writers, or people who want to write magazine articles. We're really open to bringing this out there on a larger scale. There's one final thing I want to end on and talk about, which is, this helps people be born and it helps people die. There was a woman who came to my lecture and she said she helped deliver 3 babies using quantum touch, and these were the first 3 pain-free childbirths that she had ever seen. I called Mike Walker in New Mexico and told him, I heard about pain-free childbirth, and he said, yeah, I delivered 2 myself and they were both pain-free as well. So that's a new one on me. And here's another one. A woman came to me and asked me if I would work with her dad, who was in the hospital. He had hip replacement surgery. The doctors totally botched it up. He was in his 80s, and he had been in the hospital way too long, and now he was on dialysis, and he was going downhill fast. She said, would you come work on him? Yes, if you bring friends and family who love him. So she brought friends and family, and I taught that group to do some quantum touch, and we did a group session on dad. And he started feeling happier, and it's hot, and he's kicking the covers off. Hey, it's getting hot in here, and he's telling jokes. She left, and everybody promised to come back and give sessions to dad. I came back to her office a week later and said, how's your dad doing? She said, well, my dad died. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, no, this was the most beautiful experience I ever had in my life. She said, before you came, he was unable to get into his heart. He was in so much pain, he was just cranky all the time. After you left, he was so deeply in his heart, and he remained there. We had the most intimate, vulnerable, loving conversations of my life. She said, I'm going to treasure those moments forever. She said, I can't thank you enough, because it would not have happened had you not been there. We're seeing it help people be born. We're seeing it helps people die. We're seeing it's a basic human skill that you can learn that can change all the primary sciences. And I invite anybody who wants to learn about this to come forward.
To learn more about quantum touch, talk with whoever gave you this introduction or follow up with the printed information. To see some incredible photos of healing available on the internet, visit the website www.quantumtouch.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We wish for you a pain-free, disease-free life, and we hope you'll help us create a pain-free, disease-free world in this coming decade.